Hi, I'm Alex Garcia, and thanks for joining us here at NTWC Live. It is a team effort between Bill Reed, Tim Smith, and I. We'd like to say thank you to a few groups that help make this possible. It's USAA, South Padre Island Convention and Tourist Bureau, The Weather Company, and The Weather Boy. And now, here's Tim Smith.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to a new season of NTWC Live. It is good to see you all out there today. I'm Tim, here with Alex and Bill, and NTWC, the National Tropical Weather Conference, is what that stands for if you're new to the program. And we've been doing this for a long time, and we're back for a new season. And NTWC, the National Tropical Weather Conference, of course, happened in person this year for the first time in a couple of years. We're so glad to see so many of you out there joining us, and a few of you that joined us virtually as well. But we're glad to be back for another season of these Wednesday morning meetings where we talk hurricane preparedness, hurricane safety, hurricane research, everything hurricane we can think of. We want to say a big thank you this morning to all of the folks who make this a possibility. USAA, my gosh, they've been a part of this program for so long, and we just appreciate all that they do. South Padre Island Convention and Visitors Bureau, the host for the National Tropical Weather Conference. We'll be back again in 2023. Look forward to many of you joining us there. The Weather Company, part of what we do, Black Magic Design, all folks that make these events a possibility. And we've got a big slate coming up in the next few weeks and months, and we hope you'll be with us each and every Wednesday morning. Of course, they're recorded. You can watch them later if you'd like. And it wouldn't be possible without the man, the former director of the National Hurricane Center, who's back with us again this year. So please welcome, good morning, Mr. Bill Reed. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, Tim and everybody online. Good to be here. I just got back from New Mexico, where I experienced a 100-degree temperature dew point spread one day. So, that'll dry you out in a hurry. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the tropics and a quick glance at why the season is expected to be active. We had a guest speaker from USAA, Rebecca Nelson, but she had something come up. We're going to try to get her in on a later show as we come on in. So I'll take us to the weather and see what happens here.
Yeah, we miss Rebecca Nelson. She was scheduled to be here, but like I said, had something come up. We'll get her back, though. We're anxious to hear what she has to say about the insurance industry. All right, take it away. I like that, Bill. That's a good graphic.
Yeah, it's that we're going to permanently ensconce this. We're going to set a record for no storms.
That might make this show kind of boring this summer.
But, you know. Hey. Now,
if you believe that, you would believe me if I told you the stocks went up 1,000 points this morning.
There you go.
Same goes in the Eastern Pacific. It's not anything expected in the next 5 days. It's officially in the season in the Eastern Pacific, but not officially yet in the Atlantic. They started issuing those earlier after the, I think, 7 of the last 8 years we've had a May storm. So it kind of makes sense to do that. Satellite view of the whole planet from our side of the world it goes on a couple of things to be noted here. This area of interest, actually, a lot of chatter over what the GFS model has been trying to gin up on it there, but it's actually quite a bit of convection and moisture centered just around the southern part of Central America, with some of this convection offshore of in the Pacific, and another large ball here in the Southwest Atlantic. You can see the outflow is at least marginal there. There's still all the talk about no chance because of wind shear, but at least in the Western Caribbean for the next several days, wind shear is not going to be all that strong, and obviously there's moisture. So it does bear keeping an eye on. GFS, as I'll show you in a minute, kind of backed off last night on its big hurricane in the Gulf thing, which is fine by us. Westerlies lingering subtropical jet across the Mexico into the Gulf and out into the Atlantic. Another period of westerlies way out here in the open Atlantic, and then the main jet stream has real active weather pattern with severe weather and even some snow in the higher elevations still as it crosses northern tier states and southern Canada. This is a visible image of the same area, basically, and you can see all the deep convection, of course, down here. But the other feature you can see is the dust, big surge of Saharan dust came off towards the end of last week, came off the coast of Africa and is now overspreading the Eastern Caribbean. In a moment, I'll show you what the models think of that. Okay, this is the last night, midnight run of the GFS, and I have it starting right now, roughly, and it shows that this precipitable water with surface pressures and the 850 winds, ample moisture. You can see the broad circulation at 850 centered over Central America. And we'll just sort of step through this. It keeps it down there. And this was a week or so ago. We were, if you look back at that, by this time Sunday morning, there was supposed to be a hurricane off of Belize. Well, there is a bit of a lowish pressure, but it's still over land. The big trough and the lowish pressures are staying over Central America and Southern Mexico at this time. And the dry air from the dust is embedded in has made its presence felt across much of the Caribbean. So the moisture is confined now to areas near Central America and Mexico. And we step forward on that. It actually tries to develop a low, but again, it's mostly over land. And now it doesn't look like it wants to do anything with it relative to the Caribbean or Gulf of Mexico. And it's consistent with the European. I don't go past the 240 hours. So if you want to take it into fantasy land and go out to the full 384, be my guest.
Well, Bill, you know somebody's going to post the 384 on Facebook sometime today and say, "Yeah, see, I told you, it's still out there." And that's what's scary. That's. But go ahead.
I think though the word's gotten out. I don't get too many of my friends anymore asking, "Is this real?" I think I've convinced them that if you haven't heard from me, it's probably not real, or I'm dead.
There you go.
There you go.
This is the European at this. It went back to the wrong one. A whole lot of new stuff on the tropical tidbits model wise now. I'm just learning how to use them, so we'll get down here. Whoops, here we go. Why did it do that? There we go. Okay, we'll get out to follow it. It's even drier and a little farther to the left or west than the GFS was, and it eventually tries to gin something up again, very close to land, but in the Eastern Pacific sometime next week. And the moisture from all that finally gets up into Texas. Maybe it'll help our rain chances next week. But again, nothing is shown in the 10-day outlook of anything developing in the Gulf at this time. So remains to be seen. I think we'll stick with what the Hurricane Center put out. Just a reminder, we're in we're now at this time of year, there's ample warm water. Anything in the oranges, yellows, and browns is warm enough to support a tropical cyclone. And up the Gulf Stream and north of the Bahamas, ample warmth to support a subtropical cyclone. So that's why we look at this part of the globe for one of the reasons for what's going to happen there. The Eastern Pacific, one of the reasons they start early is their warmer water. It's a large pool of 30 plus C water out there right now. What else was I going to show you? Okay, if those who follow the El Nino La Nina thing, this product comes out every month around the middle of the month, and it's been trending stronger into the La Nina world for the last 3 months. Three months, or in March when I was looking at this, there was about equal chances of being neutral or La Nina, and at least some chance of it being El Nino at the peak of the season, August, September, October. But now it's evolved to where it's almost 60% probabilities of staying in La Nina versus 30-something percent for neutral, a negligible amount on an El Nino. So the predictions that Dr. Phil gave us back in April are getting support from the trends in the models. We're getting closer to where the climate people are more confident in the forecast for El Nino, La Nina as we approach summer in there. And this out of my way. There we go. The dust, this is a NASA model on aerosol optical thickness. So the brighter the trend into the reds, the thicker the dust layer is. And this is roughly starting now, showing the dust spreading into the Caribbean and the trajectory of the air around the subtropical high, bringing it eastward. So I'll animate this for your viewing pleasure, and you can see the steady trend of the dust throughout all of the Caribbean this weekend, making it into Florida and late this weekend and into early next week, maximizing over our area. Then a continued flow all the way from the deep tropics into our area, so at least some dust should be in the air throughout that period. And it's always kind of interesting to watch how this dust behaves. And we're learning more and more about the relationship between these aerosols and tropical developments, and it's generally a negative influence. So that's the end of the stuff I've got. So any discussion or questions, be my guest.
Well, you know, as we head into the season, here we are, it's June, the 18th, Hurricane Center started issuing their tropical updates on the 15th before the hurricane season starts. And that goes back to just the fact that the last few seasons have been busy early, right?
Right. Now that we're issuing the outlooks earlier, they'll stop farming then.
that's the way that works.
Yeah, there's been a trend, it seems like, with temperatures changing up, particularly in the Atlantic. You see the cooling and then the changing systems there. But we do know there's a little bit of a cycle. We call that the AMO. Can you explain that for some of the folks that are kind of watching that are newbies to all of this?
The Atlantic Meridional Oscillation, I think Dr. Gray was one of the scientists that coined that phrase quite a while ago now, but it's an oceanographic with feedback to the atmosphere phenomena that cycles over a period of decades, with being a warm cycle and a cold cycle. And the cold cycle, the tropical Atlantic will trend towards slightly cooler than the long-term average, and the warm cycle slightly warmer. And the activity of the seasons follows that. When it's warmer, like it is now, we get a lot of active seasons. When it's cooler, you get less. We're 25 or 27. I forgot which year we declared it started. We're 20 some years into the warm cycle. So somewhere down the road, maybe a cool cycle will be on our doorstep.
Yeah, until then, it looks like everything is going to be active. NOAA's coming out with their hurricane seasonal forecasts, and I'm thinking it'll probably be pretty similar to what Dr. Klotzbach says.
Yeah, everybody's. I haven't seen any contrary forecasts come out from the various organizations and agencies that do that. They're all forecasting an active, more active than average season, and the other. Take away at least some of the folks that are involved with the NOAA forecast did their PhD work under Dr. Gray, so I would assume that they've incorporated a lot of the same methodologies and concepts that he did.
And Phil will be back on here on June the 16th. Dr. Phil Klotzbach will be with us to talk about his update to the update to the update. So we'll see where he's headed based on the new information that's coming in as we head into the season, into the beginning of the season. There's all the indicators that change or may not change as we get close.
Yeah, the only thing I saw really different from last year, it's not a lot different, is the anomaly in the ocean temperatures right now. The part of the Western Caribbean and most of the Gulf are running warmer than normal. The Southwest Atlantic through the main development region are all running about average right now. But that's a half a degree warmer than what the previous average been, and a degree warmer than the 100-year average was. So that's still a lot of warm water.
Yeah, that is.
Looking forward to the show. Go ahead, Alex.
I was going to say that is a lot of warm water out there, but then we're also looking at that amount of dust that's coming off the Saharan And it looks like this one, this year happens to be, I was reading up, it looks like it's a little bit more this year than what we've seen in past years. And that may have that negative impact you were talking about.
Yeah. It tends to, from what we heard from our speaker last year, it tends to be at its strongest in the May, June, July timeframe. And then, the gradients drop as a subtropical high migrates north, and you don't get nearly as much dust in the August, September, October part of the season.
I'm looking forward to Chris Lancey and Tom Newton. They're going to be here on July the 6th to talk about the AMO and climate. And just, you know, I know Chris has done a lot of work on you know, the change in climate and how that's impacting hurricanes. And so far, you know, his research, I believe, has shown that we're not seeing a numbers increase, but we are seeing an intensity increase, an intensity and rainfall increase. Is that, and it'll be interesting to see what he says on July 6th about that.
Yeah, and I think the confidence factor in those kind of statements, the challenge is we don't have we have so much better observing capabilities in the modern, since the 1950 timeframe forward, first with reconnaissance and then with satellites in the 60s. We really don't know whether we're getting the good numbers of storms that occurred in the periods before that out at sea, the short-lived ones especially. So it's kind of important to look at the hurricanes. I don't think we missed too many of those, and especially landfall. And there's no trend, as they pointed out in the recent article, in the landfall of the hurricanes.
Well, we got some great shows coming up, you know, and again, we'd scheduled Rebecca Nelson for today from USAA, and we'll get her back on because we do want to talk about insurance preps and doing your insurance checkup for everybody that's on. And Tim Marshall's watching this morning. Good morning, Tim. Good to see you. Thanks for being part of the program today. Next week, Mark Sutton's going to be here, and Hal Needham as well. And we're going to talk about the seasonal forecast. We're going to talk about hurricane prep in general. Those guys have been on the front lines for the last few years and doing some amazing work. Mark Sutton has been putting instruments in front of the hurricanes, and Hal has been setting up in front of the hurricanes and coming back with some great info that I think, you know, in the future, these guys are going to be in textbooks as guys that have really been in the forefront of doing some serious research on the front lines.
Yeah. They're kind of pioneering ways to do data gathering remotely. And I think, you know, the economy of scale, more people pick up on that, we might get a nice system in place to capture all the storms and not just ones of opportunity down the road.
Well, it's interesting because if we go back to the storm in Louisiana that they said it wasn't, you know, the unsurvivable storm surge and where the population center was, they didn't get that, but they did get that just a few miles down the road. And if you don't have observations there, it's like if something went in between me and you, Bill, between Brownsville and Corpus Christi, let's say, into the King Ranch, they could have a 30-foot storm surge. Nobody know it because there's nothing there. But those guys will get instruments out there one way or another. We'll find out.
Yeah. Well, knowing Sutton, he'd probably try to put a camera and a sensor on the leg of a Santa Gertrudis cattle.
You do know Mark. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So they'll be here next week, the week after that. Leslie Chapman Henderson from Flash and Aris Papadopoulos are going to be here to talk about building resilient homes. I think, you know, Florida's got a pretty good building code, but the rest of us, I'm not so sure. Like, I know Cameron County here, you know, South Texas, building code is nowhere close to Florida's building code, and that's the case along a lot of the coast.
Yeah, there's pockets of success. Hurricane Sally just very agonizingly, slowly made landfall in the Florida Panhandle, Southern Alabama area. There's a community in coastal county of Alabama. I think it's Baldwin, but I'm not sure. Has a whole neighborhood where a builder there followed the practices of fortified homes. And at the conference that Leslie's organization had last year, they gave a talk and the same neighborhood had other houses that were just built to the building code. Fortified homes are code plus. And you couldn't tell the storm had even come through where the fortified homes were. yet there was a lot of damage, not so much big structure because it wasn't that strong a wind, but a lot of so-called superficial damage. It all adds up. It's costly. And if you can prevent that from happening, it makes it better for everyone involved living on the coast.
Well, the point that Leslie makes in every presentation, I think, is that the building code is the bare minimum. You know, and yes, in certain places it's pretty good code, but in certain places it's not. It's the bare minimum. Would you be happy with that in your car? You know, the bare minimum safety requirements, and you're driving down the I-45. You know, or you want something a little better?
Yeah, you really want to ride out a hurricane if you're in a manufactured home that's resting on cinder blocks.
Exactly, exactly. So that's going to be another good presentation. The week after that, Dr. Frank Marks is with us. Research update from NOAA HRD. He was at the conference. What's he going to talk about, Alex? Do you know what his focus is?
Not at the moment. We're still working that one out here.
So it should be good. It seems really interesting here. And then FEMA, Mike Builder will be here. And that's going to be fun. I think as much fun as talking about hurricanes can be on June the 15th. He's going to talk about Hurricane Agnes. And it seems like we all have memories of Agnes for one reason or another. Bill, you remember it. You were kind of in the thick of that, were you not?
I was on the, that was my first year in the Navy, and the Navy had a Hurricane Hunter squadron then, and I was on the first official flight we used. P3 had been tested for a couple of years of flying. It was the first official flight the squadron had in a P3. Into Agnes as it was reforming off the mid-Atlantic coast. And I grew up in Delaware, so we're flying up and down the beaches, and I'm saying, well, look at that, I was there. And I couldn't believe it. That was just an amazing storm.
So you're saying, I can see my house from here. You're saying that on the hurricane hunter. That's not a good sign.
our house was well inland and in the northern part of the state, but the beach resorts where we all went, I knew what I was looking at. We were that close.
Wow. And we talked earlier, that Lock Haven, Pennsylvania is right on the Susquehanna, right there in the center part of the state. And my brother got married right about half a block from the river the year before. And the year after, all that was ruined. I mean, the flooding was so significant. And a picture that he posted that George posted, was not George, but Mike posted from downtown Lock Haven. That's where my sister-in-law's family lived. They lived a block behind where that picture was taken, in a three-story downtown store. They lived in an apartment on the third floor, and they went fishing out their window because the water was about, I don't know, 10, 15 feet deep on the street. So that'll be an interesting presentation, I think. So we've got a lot of good stuff coming up, guys. I think it's going to be a good summer of NTWC Live. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. We've got so much coming up, and, you know, we're still planning more. And if anybody listening has some suggestions or ideas or things you'd like to see shows on, hey, we'd be happy to kind of work on those and get them going. You know, our primary audience is for broadcast meteorologists and for emergency managers, and those are kind of interested in hurricanes. But we do know there's a general public out there that really wants to know some information. So if there's anything that we can do for you, just send us an email, send us a little note there, put it in the chat on our Facebook and Twitter pages, and we'll be happy to work on it for you.
Yeah, we're trying to dig a little deeper than what you see on our evening news broadcast. You know, we've only got 3 minutes on TV here. We can go an hour. So we're again, trying to educate the educators, but also anybody that wants to listen. If you just have a little deeper interest in what we're talking about on TV, by all means, listen in and submit your questions. And we appreciate everybody who's done that the last two years. This is now the third year of this, guys, 3 years of this.
Yeah, we're into 3 years of doing this stuff, which is really good. We've had some good response. And what's really interesting is that when we go back and look at some of the analytics, we're a global program. We're in 61 countries where people are listening or either watching us in 61 countries now. So there's great interest. And again, you always, and in these days of social media, meteorologists, you do need a trusted source, and you're looking at them right here. Bill Reed there, the most trusted source of us sitting here. So if you want to know about something about hurricanes, come to this show. This is where we'll have it for you.
Yeah, like Bill said, if we're not talking about it, don't worry about it.
Exactly. Exactly. If we're not really saying much.
There's so much junk out there now, and it's just it's detrimental to the preparation community in general. You know, if you see these posts, that the irresponsible posts, and people cancel plans because of somebody posted the 3-week GFS, You know, and they cancel plans because of it, because somebody posted it. Yeah. And it's not going to come true. It's not.
Well, and just from the perspective of your guy's profession, you say you only have 2 or 3 minutes to cover the weather. If you have to waste a minute of it stamping out a rumor that showed up on the web and whatnot, that's 1 minute less that you have to talk about real weather effects that people may be interested in.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Well, guys, I think that's our first show for today.
All right.
And we've got some interesting shows, again, as Tim had mentioned, coming up. We're going to be here every Wednesday morning, 10 o'clock Central Daylight Time, with some special guests and some updates. If there's something happening out there, Bill's going to give you an update almost every time to let you know what's going on. So please join us. We're here on social media. We're also on HurricaneCenterLive.com. That's our official website. So, Tim, Bill, thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks, Alex.
Great. My pleasure.
All right.